You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And good morning, or I should say good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas. Design Dilemmas is a little different than the show that we do in the morning. It's all about design, but it's interactive. Our phone lines are open. It is now a little after 2:04 in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time. Our phone lines are free. To reach us is 908-237-0410. 908-237-0410, and ask us anything related to design. Maybe there's a project you've done, you've gotten some resources for the community, maybe you've had some successes. Tell us what you've tried, you've worked on. If you have any questions for me, I have 18 years in the business. I'm located at 1 U.S. Highway 31, Mavenhill Designs, 1 U.S. Highway 31, Flemington, New Jersey. Phone number of the store is 908-884-0770. Let's start by taking a look at the weather, which is not so great today. Currently, it's 60 degrees, which is warmer than I thought it would be, with a 93% humidity in the air, so it's very wet right now. This afternoon, there's a 100% chance, I've never seen that before, 100% chance of showers with a high of 65 degrees. Tonight, again, 100% chance of showers with heavy rain this evening and a low of 59. It will be warm. Thursday, it's going to be quite warm. It's a high of 71 degrees, then there's a chance of showers. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low of 43. On Friday, it's going to be sunny with a high of 57 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear with a low of 33. It's going to get very cold on Friday night. On Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 55. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 41. And then finally on Sunday, there's a 30% chance of rain again. So again, a very mixed bag. We have highs, we have lows, but we have a couple of nice sunny days in there. I always say that rainy days are an opportunity to get things done in your home. I always try to turn a negative into a positive and have that wish list with you and get some of the inside projects done. Well, again, my name is Richard Scuderi. I am the sole proprietor of Maven Hill Designs, and I run two shows here on Wednesday at 100 in Chamber Radio, Modern Design, which airs at 10 o'clock from 10 to 11, and our interactive show in the afternoon from 2 to 3 on Wednesday, Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas. Now, what I've been doing is I've been taking, the past week or so, I've been taking your questions that I get through Twitter, through Facebook, through all different social media sources, and I save those questions and I read them on the air, and hopefully my listeners get some interesting information from what you, the listeners, are going out, what you're working on, what you're doing, what your ideas are, what we could pass along to make a better design project. Again, I'm here live in the studio. It's now about 6 minutes after the hour. We'll be here until 2:58, and the phone number is 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. This question came to me through Twitter, and it comes from Lauren L., and she's in Reddington, New Jersey, and she's thinking about having a kitchen redo, and she's asking me for advice on kitchen cabinets. What do I recommend? Well, I get that question a lot. Let's talk about what I see, what's trending, what I like, and so on. One is I'd start with probably with cabinets. What do you have as your ceiling height? The look of cabinets now is more the taller cabinet, the 42-inch cabinet, and sometimes that's predicated by ceiling height. Also, it's predicated by if there's a soffit, if there's ductwork and there's a closed soffit, and it limits the amount of cabinetry you can. What we like to do these days is take the cabinets to the ceiling. In fact, I have a new with me in studio. I have a new UltraCraft is a line that I use a lot, and I have their new book out here, and it shows very clearly in all the different displays, and there are quite a few different displays here. They're taking the cabinets to the ceiling. So we'd like to do a taller or a 42-inch cabinet. And then sometimes if you have taller ceilings, if you have 9 foot or better, there's space left above it. So typically today what we're doing is we're taking a second smaller decorative cabinet and putting that above that and then lighting the cabinet so you can use that for display. It's also a way to keep things dust-free when they're in that environment. Crown molding is very popular on cabinets now. Getting caught on the mic here. Crown molding is very popular on cabinets now, as I see here, finished molding. Even if you have a crown molding in the room, a separate finished top piece for crown molding. One of the things that I'm seeing with cabinets that is different, I often say this, when I started in the industry, most people had their cabinet stop, and then they had a closed soffit, and that went to the ceiling. Then it changed, and those soffits were gone. It was open. They rerouted. Most people rerouted their duct lines, and then it was open. And people used to use the top of their cabinets, open cabinets, for display for decorative things. And that seemed to go away now. So people are doing the taller cabinets. They're doing cabinets that go to the ceiling. And if there's room, they do a second smaller cabinet on top and use it for decorative space. For decorative purposes. Now, I see a variety of cabinets through UltraCraft and different styles from contemporary to traditional. But the one thing that I do see most often these days is that sort of simple shaker style cabinet with a recessed panel. So I'm seeing that most often in white or shades of off-white or shades of gray. So that happens to be probably one of the most popular as far as cabinets are concerned. Under counter lighting is very popular now. So on these cabinets, there's a bottom molding so that it won't reveal that there's an LED light underneath. So that's another popular thing with up-to-date cabinets. So again, the cabinets that go to the ceiling, the 42-inch cabinets. If you have extra space to put a decorative cabinet on top of the primary cabinet so that everything goes to the ceiling. I'm seeing a return to more of flush surfaces. For a while, I was seeing that cabinets on the wall were staggered in heights, but I am seeing pretty much more of a continuum that everything is in line now. They have a crown molding on the top of the cabinets, and I'm seeing a lot more painted cabinets, whites and grays in particular. All shades of white, though. Not so creamy yellow, but lots of white or gray white or you know, just off-whites. And then a pure white also, painted a shaker style. And then in the gray cabinets, I'm seeing both in a painted gray finish and also a stained, sort of a weathered gray finish as far as cabinets are concerned. So those are some of the things that I do see in cabinets. And I hope that was helpful to you, Lauren. Okay, my next question comes to me. This comes from Facebook, and this comes from Lisa Jean. She's Edison, New Jersey. I know Lisa very well, actually. And she said, can I paint over my current wallpaper? I do not want to look to take everything down and complete the process with paint if possible. In fact, you can paint over wallpaper. I do not recommend it. In most cases, if you can get the wallpaper off the walls, that's what I suggest that you do. But there are, there are some cases, it's a little dry in the studio today. There are some cases where the previous owner, or whoever did the wallpaper in that space beforehand, didn't prime the before they put up the wall before they put up the wallpaper, and now it's stuck and you just can't get it off. In that case, you can paint over wallpaper. You're going to need sort of a bonding agent from the existing wallpaper. Well, first of all, I should predicate by saying that wallpaper has to be on there well. If the wallpaper is all ripping up, then forget it. You can't paint over it at all. But if the wallpaper is in good shape, but it's just not coming off the walls, then what you can do if you don't want to remove the wallpaper is you can use a bonding agent like a Stix primer. That's a brand that I've used a lot, or my guys have used a lot, and that sticks, in fact, to anything. So you do a bonding primer, you let that dry, then you do a first coat and a second coat of finish coat of paint, and you can paint over wallpaper. Again, it's not the preferred way. The preferred way is to remove the wallpaper, to strip it off the walls, to prepare the walls, to prime them, and then to paper. But yes, in fact, it can be done if you use those products. Okay, my next question comes to me from Mark V, and he's in Glen Gardner, New Jersey. And he said he's getting ready to sell his house. What are some of the best colors to sell a house? Well, that is sort of changing because colors are changing. And I have my sort of go-to list of colors that I use when I'm selling a house. But colors have changed a little bit. We talked about that in the morning show today, is that we're seeing so much whites and grays now that some of the colors have changed. So one of the colors that I'm starting to use a lot now to stage a house is sort of a pale gray, a pale neutral gray and white trim. And I'm doing that a lot in long corridors and big areas. I don't solely paint gray throughout because that could be very drab. But where I was using tan, I'm using sort of a neutral light gray with white trim now. So that's a color that you can use to get your house ready for sale. Neutral, like a neutral light gray with white trim. Also, the tans still go well. I personally, for my own house, would pick a tan over a gray, but you can use a neutral tan with crisp white trim and white ceilings, and that works out well. Shades of taupe, of like a light soft brown, are always great for staging a house. People seem to like that. Shades of pale green, sages, are very good. Not olives, not dark, not too yellow, but if you stick with like a sage green with a white trim, that's always a good color. So if you go with those bases, if you go with grays, tans, taupes, and greens, they're all natural colors, and they'll work well in any environment. So I hope that works well for you, Mark. Okay, we've come up to our first set of commercials. And we will be back shortly with more of Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site.
affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
This is Big C coming to you from HuntingtonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Huntington kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Huntington County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Good Morning Huntington, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Huntington on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Huntington Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Huntington Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Huntington Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we are back with Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas. My name is Richard Scuderi. I've been interior designer for the past 18 years. I'm located right here in Flemington at the Flemington Circle at 1 U.S. Highway 31, Flemington, New Jersey. I just came back from my showroom. We got some wonderful new things in, some gift ideas for both Thanksgiving and Christmas that have come in. Some new artwork has come in and some accessories. So come check me out in Flemington. We are open 6 days a week. Monday through Saturday. And again, you can reach me at Maven Hill at 908-884-0770, 908-884-0770. We are live in studio here. I do have quite a few questions that I got during the week to read from social media and from some of my existing clients. But if you'd like to call in, the phone number here for Modern Design 2 is 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. I'm going to read it one more time because I didn't read that well. 908-237-0410. Looks like I just got a text here. And this comes from Gary R. And he's in Bridgewater, New Jersey. And he asked me, are people still flipping houses? You know, tricky question. In our area, I don't think so much. You watch a lot of these television programs like HGTV and so on out in California and stuff, and you see that there's a lot of flipping going on. I'm not seeing that so much in our market. I also do Had my real estate license probably for as long as I've been doing decorating, because they do go hand in hand. I don't see that. I did see this year at the beginning of the year people building one or two spec houses. So that was a good sign that the economy is changing a little bit. But in general, flipping houses, I mean, are there people out there that are trying to do it one at a time? Yes. Not a lot of it. It's not the way it was before. Some general ideas, though, for you, if you decide that you want to take on a project and flip, I would say make sure that you, when you do the flip, that you use quality products. That's what people are looking for. One of the things that people have done, I think, gotten better at over time is educating themselves on systems. It's very important that you put in a good kitchen appliances, real hardwood floors. Those are the things that stainless steel appliances. Make sure that there's quality building materials, things that are maintenance-free, things that are energy efficient. Those are the things that you want to look at when you're flipping a house. But good luck with that. I hope that works out well for you. The next question comes to me from, looks like Gina L., and she's in Bedminster, New Jersey. And she writes, I want a new master bathroom. Are there any suggestions on what you've done recently and what looks good? I don't have that big of a space to work with. Well, it's funny. I'm doing a lot of bathrooms right now in master baths. And depending upon when your house was built, sort of predicates, if you're not going to open up the space, how much space you have to work with. And, you know, it's not even that much. You don't really need that much space to make a master bathroom work. You just need it to be efficient. And what I say to people is a lot of times, including my own home, you inherit this massive tub and tub surround, which takes up a lot of space, which I have in my own home. But if you can't afford it and you're able to change that out, the freestanding tub is a terrific look for a master bathroom. And there's a tub filler that goes behind it. But a simple tub like that will take up a lot less space and really look nice. So something for you to think about doing in the space. Now, if you don't have the space for a separate tub and shower, you certainly could still do a tub and shower combination. One of the things that I see a lot is when people go ahead and they do a tub and shower combination and you keep everything nice and crisp and white, you redo the shower surround in a white subway tile and a nice tile ceiling, and you can actually take that we're getting a lot of emails and texts today. You can take that and put a frameless surround on that. Most people think that you can't, if you have a tub, that you can't do a frameless shower enclosure. In fact, you can do that as well if you have a combination. So that's a nice thing to do. So you see through to the beautiful clean white subway tile. And then I like to do a double vanity. As long as there's space in the room, I think one of the typical things that I say for people for resale is the master bathroom should have a double vanity, two sinks, that's critical, and a tub of some type, if possible. So that kind of covers that. Tile can be any size right now for a master bathroom. You don't necessarily, because you have a small bathroom, have to do small tile. That sort of went out the window a while ago. And people are doing a lot of decorative things in bathrooms now with wainscoting, and not necessarily just the thin board wainscoting, all types of woodworking on the bottom, whereas people were taking tile in years past halfway up the wall. They're now doing things with wood and then painting out beautiful colors, the sheetrock further up. So some things to think about for you as well. If you can afford it and you're stripping down your bathroom to the basics and you can do some radiant floor heat in the bathroom, that is wonderful. That's something that's very wonderful. If you can't do that, a second, I think, to that is a heated towel rack. That's something that I've done recently for a client, and to have a nice warm towel when you get out of the shower is really a nice experience. That's something else that you might want to consider. And make sure there's good ventilation in the bathroom. No point in doing that and have it all water damaged in a short period of time. So, Gina, I hope that gives you some ideas for your master bathroom project. Let's see. My next message comes to me from Larry F., and he's in Chester, New Jersey. And he says that he wants to knock out one of the small bedrooms to make the master bedroom bigger. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? Well, this is kind of a tough call in terms of quality of life or resale value. And for the most part, when you go to list a house that has four bedrooms is going to appeal a lot more to the masses than a three-bedroom house. In fact, some people won't go further. One of the criterias that people use to judge if they're going to go see a house is number of bedrooms and number of bathrooms. So if they're looking for a four-bedroom house and you have a four-bedroom house and you're turning it into a three-bedroom house, they may never even get to you if you go to sell that. So off the top, I think my suggestion would to be leave a four-bedroom house a four-bedroom house. But in fact, if you're going to stay in, if you like the area, you're going to stay there, and you're looking to make your master bigger, maybe you can borrow some of the space. Maybe we can reconfigure some of the space to make it more spacious. I've been one of those people that's not such a, as long as there's enough room for you to get around and enough storage, I'm not one of those people that likes those huge master bedrooms. I don't know about you, but I don't spend that much time in my bedroom. I sleep in my bedroom, and when I'm up, I'm up. I'm up, I take a shower, I'm out, and so on. A lot of people that have these like mega master bedrooms with the sitting area and so on, those rooms go unused. They're a waste. I'm always trying to repurpose that space somehow. Inevitably, most people say, I wish I had more bedrooms and I had this, you know, this waste of space. People that put their, you know, an office wing off there and so on, people don't want to spend that much time in their bedroom. So I think unless the bedroom is in a situation where you feel tight and uncomfortable, I would leave the bedroom the way it is. Again, there's a lot of things you can do with furniture placement and making the room appear larger and having more functional storage. So that would be the way I would probably go in that case. Okay, we're just about to approach news, and we will be back shortly with more of Modern Design 2, Design Dilemmas.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. The South Carolina deputy who threw a school student to the floor is out of a job. Richland County Sheriff Leon Lott said today Deputy Ben Fields was terminated based on a review of video of the incident. Videos show the white deputy violently flipping a female black student over as she sat at her desk. The sheriff said the student had been disruptive and disrespectful and refused to leave the classroom. Lott said the troubling video clearly showed the officer violated policy and proper procedure. Meanwhile, the president of National School Safety and Security Services believes the school is partially to blame for the incident.
If we look at how our schools are using our school resource officers, right, we're going to see a lot fewer of these confrontations and a lot fewer people, sure, who are using something like this to attack good programs.
Ken Trump tells Fox News' Fox and Friends that the situation should have been handled differently. You're listening to USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Owning and caring for a home comes with a lot of to-dos. Tune up the furnace, clean the gutters, remodel the kitchen. Whatever your home improvement need, HomeAdvisor can help you find a pro you can trust to get the job done right. Go to rebuild.homeadvisor.com for instant access to top-rated pros in your area, including electricians, handymen, plumbers, whatever type of home pro you need. And HomeAdvisor is absolutely free to use. At HomeAdvisor, you can read customer reviews of the pros, even use the cost guide to find out what hundreds of other home projects cost in your area. And because HomeAdvisor knows it's important to find a pro you can trust in your home, they conduct background checks on their service professionals. It's just one of the reasons more than 25 million homeowners have used HomeAdvisor. Go to rebuild.homeadvisor.com to find the right pro for your project. That's rebuild.homeadvisor.com.
All eyes are on the third Republican presidential debate tonight. CNBC will air the event live from Boulder, Colorado at 8 p.m. Eastern. An earlier debate scheduled for 6 p.m. Eastern will feature four GOP candidates who are not polling high enough to make it onto the main stage. Coming up, we'll have a story on negative campaigning. Even though the housing market collapse of 2008 is resolving itself, mortgage fraud is still a problem in Washington. Ann Harkins, who heads the National Crime Prevention Council, says mortgage fraud, though, is a big nationwide industry now.
It's a multi-billion dollar industry perpetrated by very well-trained, sophisticated, slick con artists. and it affects homeowners in every state in the country and across every socioeconomic spectrum.
Harkin says that if you're still in mortgage trouble, beware of people who offer easy-sounding or so-called guaranteed repair schemes and tell you that bad credit isn't a problem. You're listening to USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Most voters express disappointment when candidates resort to negative campaigning, but the smear campaigns have been around as long as politicians have been looking for votes. John Clemens reports.
The dirty tricks, cheap shots, and the October surprises have always been a part of politics. Now Joseph Cummins has authored a book, Anything for a Vote. One of his favorites is from the 1864 election, when opponents of Lincoln tried some dirty politics.
They even attacked our sacred icons like Abraham Lincoln by claiming that he never washed his socks and therefore he had smelly feet. So I think probably they would have welcomed Donald Trump with open arms back in those days.
Cummins has researched all the presidential elections using a ranking system called the Sleazometer. He says now the Sleazometer is quivering between 7 to 8 on a scale of 10, but says it's going to get much worse. I'm John Clemens.
Former House Speaker Dennis Hastert has pleaded guilty in a federal hush money case. Hastert entered the plea today in Chicago on a charge of evading currency reporting requirements. The once-powerful Illinois Republican reportedly made illegal bank withdrawals to cover up sexual misconduct and could be sent to prison for up to 5 years. The Federal Reserve is wrapping up a two-day meeting to decide whether to raise interest rates. Many economists say there's little chance policymakers will raise rates for the first time in nearly a decade, given the global uncertainty and continuing low inflation. The benchmark rate has not changed since 2006. You're listening to USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
And we are back with Modern Design 2, Design Dilemmas. Design Dilemmas is designed to be our interactive show. I go to social media during the week, to Facebook, to Twitter, to all my different media sources, to the emails I get and the experiences during the business week, and then I read those on the air. We also have open phone lines here in the studio. It's now 2:33 Eastern Standard Time, and we'll be here until 2:58 Eastern Standard Time if you'd like to call me in studio live. The phone number is 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. Okay, my next question came to me from Kevin, and he's in Hillside, New Jersey, and he currently has an older home that was built in the 40s, and he has aluminum siding, and his question to me is, without replacing the siding, is there anything I can do to make it look better? Well, you know, you don't see aluminum siding that much around. Most people do tend to take it off, but it, you know, it was created for a reason. It lasts a very long time, and if it's in good shape and you don't have the resources to change it, aluminum siding can be painted, and sometimes very successfully. You want to go to your local paint purveyor and see what you want to use as sort of a bonding primer to the aluminum siding. Aluminum siding sometimes doesn't hold up as well as, believe it or not, even vinyl siding. Even after it's power washed, it gets very dull over time. So I have seen aluminum siding painted, and it can be actually quite nice. We took a house that was sort of a funny green shade, and we made it white with black shutters and a black front door. And I tell you, it really looked good and really freshened it up. But you want to use a good bonding primer. You want to make sure that you're painting a clean surface so that it's power washed first, nice and clean. You want to use some sort of a bonding primer, so that's going to work, and then two finished coats of paint, and put a new, maybe some new shutters and a new front door, or paint out the front door with a new color scheme, and it will really reinvent your home. So I hope that works out well with you. My next question comes to me. This was an email I received during the week from Brenda Kay in Maplewood, New Jersey, and she's looking for places to buy furniture. You know, I just had a client in between my morning show and my afternoon show, and his question to me was the same thing. Where are the furniture stores left in New Jersey that I deal with? And it's funny. There are a lot less furniture stores, as we all can see. But one of the ones that I seem to use a lot is Bassett. I find they have quality products. They're very transitional. They're not necessarily traditional, but they're not necessarily contemporary. They're right in the middle, which is good. They have a variety of fabrics that you can use. And they sort of do semi-custom furniture in about 30 days. So if you're looking to do a couch and you want a specific type of a foot or a specific type of an arm, they can do that. They also can let you pick the firmness of the cushions, which is kind of nice. And all the furniture is made in Bassett, Virginia. So it's all made in the United States, which is a nice thing. So Bassett Furniture is one that I would check out that I like a lot. Ethan Allen has been a furniture store that I bought a lot of pieces in over time. We had the manager, Penny, the manager of the Bridgewater store. I do use the Bridgewater store as well as the store in Watchung on Route 22. And I know there's one down in Princeton area as well. They continue to put out a very quality product. So I like that a lot. There's Rolling Hills Furniture in Chester, New Jersey, which I've been a patron of in the past. And I know that's still in business as we speak. And there is a furniture store in California, New Jersey, called Satriano's, a family-owned furniture store right in downtown California, which they do a nice job with furniture as well. So those are four to get you started, and I think we can go from there. Oh, there is one more that I didn't recommend that I should, and that's in Livingston, New Jersey, and it's Save. It's in right in Livingston, New Jersey, they do a really nice job. They're sort of at the Circle, and they really do a nice job with furniture. They're a little bit more expensive, but they carry high-end lines, and they do a terrific job with furniture. Okay, my next job, my next call here comes to me from, doesn't say who this is from. Okay, it says, do people still use wallpaper borders? I want to use one in my son's room. I don't have who this is from. This did come in through social media. In fact, we're not seeing so much borders. I did have somebody ask me for a wallpaper border recently, and when I went to find them, I couldn't really find in the paint store very many books of wallpaper borders that were still available. And if they had the book, the papers were discontinued. Do they still make wallpaper borders? Sure. What people are usually doing now, especially if it's in a child's room, is using high-quality stickers. Believe it or not, that they can put on the wall that don't affect the wall, and then they change. They have a theme, and they put stickers on the wall for a theme for a child's room. As the child grows and changes, the stickers change. A border is not so labor intensive, but it's still somewhat difficult to get off and so on. So I would probably stay away from the wallpaper border for a child's room, find out what they're into. And I'm sure there's some stickers you can go online out there that you can purchase. I've even some that are sophisticated that almost look like collages that you can do, or murals that you can do. And when the child grows, you can change out of it. I think that's probably a better solution than a wallpaper border. Okay, the next question comes to me from Gary M., and he's in Garwood, New Jersey. And he writes, what can I do to make my living room more usable? I am currently, it's the largest room in my house, and I'm currently not using the biggest space in my house. You know, I have so many clients that have this problem right now. In years past, typically the biggest room in the house was the living room. The living room was kind of like the family room. It was a room that you're supposed to spend a lot of time in. But then people were not using that room. They wanted to be off the kitchen and the back of the house. And that's why family rooms and family rooms additions have gotten more popular. And then you have this big, you know, space in the front of your house that doesn't get any use. Well, I currently have, as we speak, two custom clients, I should say, that I'm working with that have large living rooms. And one of them we're turning into a library, where we're putting in bookshelves and a beautiful couch, Chesterfield sofa, and nice wing chairs, and we're turning it into a library because they always wanted a library or place to read that's quiet and so on. And the other one, we're turning into a tavern. We're turning it into a bar. We're building a beautiful bar that's going to go there with four stools and a beautiful bar back that's going to be lit. And then for seating, we're going to do a very low, wide coffee table, and then four very comfortable chairs, and we're going to set it up as a bar tavern room. There's going to be wood paneling on the walls, and it's going to be really like a place to just hang out and enjoy, as opposed to a space that you just sort of look at. So those are a couple of the things that I'm working on. But you really can repurpose a living room. It's a shame to have a large space in your house and not utilize it. So living rooms can be repurposed. I use my living room a lot, actually. My family room is more of a private space. I don't necessarily keep it as neat as the rest of the house because that's the room I live in and eat in and spend the most time in. But I like my living room. When I have company, I want to put my people in my living room. It's that room that I keep pretty clean. My piano's in there. It's the fireplace is in there. So I kind of reserve that for guests, but I don't make it so untouchable that it's not accessible to everyone. So you don't necessarily have to change a living room. You can use your living room or make your living room less formal. But if you do want to repurpose it and make it more functional, those are two ideas that will work for you. Okay, we're at 2:41. I have to take some commercial breaks, and we'll be back shortly with Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we are back with Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas. It's currently 2:43 and we'll be on to 2:58 Eastern Standard Time. If you'd like to call us here live in studio, it's 908-237-0410. 908-237-0410. Don't be shy. Give us a call. Tell us what you're going through. All right. So my next question comes to me from a client I've been working with, and his name is Malcolm in Bridgewater, New Jersey. And he did just sell his house, so I guess I answered his questions right. And his question to me was, I am selling my house. What can I do to make it sell quickly? Well, as I said to Malcolm, and I will say to the listeners on Modern Design 2, is that one of the things that you have to do to sell a house is make sure your kitchen and baths are updated. Very important to take a look at those and think about a person coming in and purchasing a home and thinking the first thing they have to do is a major renovation. Sometimes it might be more valuable to fix that home. Even if you're not going to sell the house right away, you can live with a new kitchen and enjoy it. And then when you get ready to sell, you know that you're going to get your money back on it because you're going to be able to sell it at a better price and probably more quickly. So kitchens and baths are paramount. We want to get those up to date. We want stainless steel appliances if possible. We want to make sure that everything is in working order. Same thing with bathrooms. Bathrooms are easy to do. They're easy fixes. Kitchens can be more expensive, but your bathrooms in a house, tile is very inexpensive. To change out a commode and a sink are very inexpensive. Keep those up to date. So kitchen and baths first. The second thing that's very important is painting. And I know Malcolm painted the whole house over. Repaint your home. That's very important. Fresh paint when you go to sell a house makes a house look like it's new. I always recommend white for the trim for a house that you're going to sell. It's crisp and clean. A pre-mixed, ready-done white is the best. Don't go into very custom trim colors. Make sure it's nice and neutral. A nice crisp white semi-gloss paint will be terrific. Nice neutral colors on the wall. Taupes are good. Tans are good. Grays are good. Greens are good. Natural colors. Don't make everything the same color. Have some variety. So when you go from room to room, there's visual interest. That's very important. Nice, clean, white ceilings. So paint that whole house, wall, ceiling, and trim. That's very important. That's done. Kitchens and baths, make sure they're up to date. That's very important. Lighting is very important. Make sure when the house is going to be shown, it's bright. Make sure that the shades are open and that there's a lot of natural light coming in and that the place looks bright. Nobody wants to buy a dark house. That's always a turnoff, even if it's well decorated. The next thing is get rid of any personal items in the space. If you have family pictures, start putting that stuff away. You'll take that to your next place. Things that are very personalized. And clutter in general, you want to be able to walk around each room without having to step over items. Even in your closet, some of the tricks we do is to start to put some of those clothes away or even get a storage unit to make your closet look more spacious. It's one of the things that we do to get a house ready for staging. And if by chance you get relocated and you have to move and your house is empty, don't sell an empty house. It's a red flag to buyers that they can get it for a cheaper price. Go ahead and use a stager. It's one of the things that I do. I have a furniture rental company I work with, and we can get some pieces, select pieces in the house for a small monthly fee, and it makes that house look lived in. And that's very important that we get our money for our house. Well worth it. And doesn't take a long time when a house is furnished sparsely, but well furnished. It makes it look bigger and it will sell quickly. So that worked for Malcolm, and I hope that will work for you. The next question I have comes from Jennifer G. Doesn't tell me where she's from. And it said, I just redid she just redid her bathroom. And it's very small with both all white fixtures. And should she paint the walls white or should she paint them a color to make it look bigger? Well, here's where I'm going to probably throw you off a little bit. You did the right thing by redoing your bathroom and probably staying with the confines of the space, but just redoing it with white fixtures. I think it's a great way to do it. But the last thing that you want to do is paint your walls white when all your fixtures are white. It'll just take away from everything you did. You need to pick a saturated color, but it doesn't have to be dark. You don't have to paint it a very dark color. If you look at any paint manufacturer, they have a rating called LVR, and that's light value ratio, and that's how much light is emitted from the paint. And just because you pick white doesn't mean that emits the most light. There are a lot of colors out there that are bright, and they bring light to the surface. And if you have all your fixtures being white, according to this, that your floor is white, you're halfway up your walls is white subway tile, and you have white fixtures, you are going to need some sort of beautiful saturated color for a bathroom. I've noticed for me, a lot of people like either blues or greens, grays and tans in bathroom. Those are colors that seem to work the best. So pick a beautiful paint color that you like, that contrast from the walls. Some of my most successful bathroom makeovers happen to be really rich mid-tone browns, really rich mid-tone blues, French blues, blue grays, grays, those colors. And they're not, you know, they're not light colors. They're really mid-tone to dark colors. And they contrast from the white so much. They really look beautiful. And then you can accessorize with towels and so on. So I would suggest take that leap of faith. It's only paint. If you're afraid to do it, I know Benjamin Moore and Sherwin Williams both have samples that you can get small amounts of paint. I say go out and paint them on sort of a poster board and put them up before you paint so you can do them on each wall and see if they look well. And then go ahead and go for it. Take that white bathroom, bring in a beautiful gray, bring in a beautiful green, a beautiful brown, a beautiful pink color, and then combine that with another color with your towels and accessories, and you're going to have a beautiful bathroom. Okay, my next question comes to me. Oh, this is from New York. Wow, from New York City. And this is from Carl C. in New York. And he says, I'm in an apartment and I can't paint. Can you suggest any ways to bring color to my space? I do get that question a lot. I would imagine in New York it comes up quite a bit if you can't paint the apartment. I know that when I've only lived in an apartment once, but the first couple of years after college, I rented an apartment and I was really bad. I went and I painted every room in the apartment. And did a lot to it, actually. But they were very happy with what I did and wound up getting my security deposit back and not having a problem because they felt I improved the space. I just couldn't live without color. That was sort of a big deal for me. I think still is. But there are other ways to add color to your space if you're not allowed or able to paint the place. And one of them is by your window treatments. If you do panels, if you do long stationary panels on your windows, they're a way to bring solid blocks of color in to your space. For example, if you like a French blue, you could do on your windows rows of beautiful panels in a French blue color, and that's going to give the feel for it. Another way to layer that is then to add area rugs that have that same color tone to them, and that will give the illusion of color. So you have it in big, bold, solid blocks on the walls, and then you have that on the rug then in the carpet. Also with pillows. Pillows and other add-ons that we can sort of build on that color a little bit. And then your accessories in your kitchen. You tie into a color that you like and you put all your accessories in that color, and it gives the illusion that you have that color in the space. Finally, your artwork. If you find artwork that has that color, you kind of get the feel that you are in that color with all the layers of the color that you like. So pick one or two colors that you like, and then focus on that throughout, and you will get the saturation of color without getting the paint on the walls. All right, the next question comes to me from Tracy R., and she's in Plainfield, New Jersey, and says that she wants to turn one of her bedrooms into a home office. Do I have any suggestions? Well, this comes up a lot on modern design. I think a lot of more people are working from home with the technology that we have, and it's a cost savings, I would think, even to the company to have people working at home. Some of the things that I've done for people for home offices is one is I most often remove the wall-to-wall carpeting, because it's very important when you have a home office and you're in it for 8 hours a day to be able to be on wheels and be able to get around the space. So typically, if I'm going to have a home office, a professional home office, I'm going to remove the carpet and then put some of a hardwood floor surface or a hard surface in that space. I don't usually recommend tile because I don't like to roll on tile. I like hardwood floors, and I typically like to tie into the floors in the rest of the house. So if the first floor has a red oak 3-inch board, I probably want to bring that upstairs to make it look like it was always that way, and that give the illusion that the carpeting upstairs on the second floor has hardwood floors underneath. So I want to tie into another part of the house, but hardwood floors are a good way to go as a start. You want to take everything out of the space and then see how much room you have for functional storage. Built-ins are a very good idea to have closed storage for files, for things of that nature that you don't necessarily want everybody to see for a home office. Sometimes I do built-ins. I deal with a couple of cabinet companies, and I have done functional built-ins, which really help, and then you can really have a lot of storage and make that a functional use of space. So that's another thing that you can do for a home office. I like a home office to have a window. That's very important to me, that I can at least see what's happening outside. And also, I usually incorporate a television and a sound system, because if you're going to be in that room for so many hours a day, you want to know what's going on and have some sort of entertainment incorporated in that space. So I wish you well, Tracy, with your project. And we are getting to 2:53, so maybe we can take one more question. And this comes from Bonnie T., and she's in Union, New Jersey. And she says that she has a utility box in the middle of her dining room, that was put there by the builder. It's gray and metal, and she heard that her warranty can be voided if she paints it. What are some of the suggestions to do for that? You know, I did inherit a house, or I did purchase a house that had the same thing. It had the controls for the heat right in the middle of the wall in the dining room. So what I did in that case was I created a shelf that I put on the wall, and then I took a picture and I sort of leaned it, if you will, created a look as if it was artwork that was destined to be there. And then I put a sconce, decorative sconce on each side of it, and made it a decorative feature of the space, and it really worked pretty well. No one could tell that there was something behind it, although every time I had to go to the thermostat to change it, which wasn't often, it was difficult. There are things that you can do with artwork to hide that. I probably wouldn't paint the box. I would use a piece of art and put that up there, and I think that's probably, or a mirror, that's another way to do that. That'd probably be your best way to go, so you can still access it. Just don't pick something that's too heavy, because when you need to get to the panel, you don't want to have something that's heavy to remove. All right, I think we have time for maybe one more question. And this one comes from Leslie in Edison, New Jersey. And she just purchased a new house. She says, my new house has popcorn ceilings. I really hate them. Should I scrape them or cover them up? What do you think? Good question. You know, the 80s were known for the popcorn ceilings. I don't know what people were thinking with that. My dad used to tell me that popcorn ceilings were a lazy builder who didn't want to level the floor of the ceilings. So what they did is they masked it by popcorn. It's not a good look. It wasn't a good look at the time, and really it's come to be hated by people. And there are two ways to go with it. One of it is to have it scraped, which I would price out with your painter, which could be kind of expensive and labor intense to scrape that all off, and then to start with a with painting, and hopefully that the ceiling underneath the popcorn is in good shape. Chances are it may be hiding something, so something to think about. And the other thing to do is, if you have the ceiling height, I like to go over them with quarter-inch sheetrock, and then you have a nice level, fresh ceiling. So that would be probably my suggestion. If you have the ceiling height, if you have enough ceiling height there, to go quarter-inch with new sheetrock, it's less time-consuming. You do have the cost of the sheetrock, but then you know you have a nice, clean, level surface. You know, they tape it out, then it'll be primed and painted. So that's another way for you to go with that space. I'd probably go with the second space. So I wanted to let you know that on next week's show on Modern Design 1 on Wednesday, my guest is going to be Dennis Wiest. He is the area representative for Graber Home Fashions, and we're going to talk about all things window treatments. He'll be my guest in studio. We'll talk about everything from blinds and shades to plantation shutters and how they're making a comeback, how they're good for your home, and they have an insulating quality to them. We'll talk about finish treatments, everything for your home as far as your windows. And I'll also talk about a project that he and I worked on this week, actually. We did some store windows, and we did, for the first time I've done this, we did blinds that have an electronic control. So you go to, they were installed, in fact, yesterday, which was kind of a neat thing. We did two big windows. And we did a blind that you have a remote control. You push a button, the blind goes up beautifully, no noise. You push a button, the blind goes down. I have to tell you, I kind of thought that was overkill, but after I did it, I felt a sense of power with having that feature. It is kind of an expensive feature, but if you have a space or a very high window that you can't get to, or if you have a skylight that you need to cover, it's the perfect solution. So please join us next Wednesday at 10 o'clock for Modern Design. Thank you for being my guest today. It flew by. We will see you next week on Modern Design on Wednesdays. I look forward to seeing you then. Have a great week, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. The South Carolina deputy who threw a school student to the floor is out of a job. Richland County Sheriff Leon Lott said today Deputy Ben Fields was terminated based on a review of video of the incident. Videos show the white deputy violently flipping a female black student over as she sat at her desk. The sheriff said the student had been disruptive and disrespectful and refused to leave the classroom. Lott said the troubling video clearly showed the officer violated policy and proper procedure. Meanwhile, the president of National School Safety and Security Services believes the school is partially to blame for the incident.
If we look at how our schools are using our school resource officers, right, we're going to see a lot fewer of these confrontations and a lot fewer people, sure, who are using something like this to attack good programs.
Ken Trump tells Fox News' Fox and Friends that the situation should have been handled differently. You're listening to USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Owning and caring for a home comes with a lot of to-dos. Tune up the furnace, clean the gutters, remodel the kitchen. Whatever your home improvement need, Home Advisor can help you find a pro you can trust to get the job done right. Go to rebuild.homeadvisor.com for instant access to top-rated pros in your area, including electricians, handymen, plumbers, whatever type of home pro you need. And Home Advisor is absolutely free to use. At Home Advisor, you can read customer reviews of the pros, even use the cost guide to find out what hundreds of other home projects cost in your area. And because Home Advisor knows it's important to find a pro you can trust in your home, they conduct background checks on their service professionals. It's just one of the reasons more than 25 million homeowners have used Home Advisor. Go to rebuild.homeadvisor.com to find the right pro for your project. That's rebuild.homeadvisor.com.
All eyes are on the third Republican presidential debate tonight. CNBC will air the event live from Boulder, Colorado at 8 p.m. Eastern. An earlier debate scheduled for 6 p.m. Eastern will feature four GOP candidates who are not polling high enough to make it onto the main stage. Coming up, we'll have a story on negative campaigning. Even though the housing market collapse of 2008 is resolving itself, mortgage fraud is still a problem in Washington. Ann Harkins, who heads the National Crime Prevention Council, says mortgage fraud, though, is a big nationwide industry now.